It's just after 4 o'clock here on Katie and Kay, and you are tuned to Everything Under the Sun, a little half-hour news segment with me, Will, the editor of the Soper Sun, or sometimes Megan, our trusty reporter. With me in the studio today, I've got kind of a cool group, Erko Alm of Alpine Bank.
Afternoon.
And Colin Laird, founding Soper Sun board member.
Hello.
And Alan Harvey, also founding Soper Sun board member.
I will.
And you might be able to put it together, but we're going to talk about the Soper Sun today. We try not to always talk about ourselves, and we're actually going to start not talking about ourselves. We're going to talk about Alpine Bank, because these guys are one of our sponsors in the event we're putting on Sunday, which I'm afraid, well, I guess I'm not afraid. I'm glad to report is sold out. I'm hoping we're going to see just a great group of folks who are celebrating 10 years around the sun. We as a little nonprofit newspaper have managed to exist for a full decade, and we'll talk to these guys in a little bit about whether they ever expected that to be the case. But certainly it has been thanks to great advertisers and supporters like Alpine Bank, who actually backed us way, well, not us, the Journal, the Roaring Fork Review, some of the Carbondale newspapers way back in the day. So what can you tell me about what's going on over at Alpine Bank these days?
Well, you know, it's been, we're doing the same thing that we've always done, trying to be part of the community. And kind of like you mentioned, we were one of the original backers, I guess you could say, for the Soper Sun. And we just view Soper Sun as one of the great assets that we have here in Carbondale. So glad to be part of it. And like I said, it's just another thing that Alpine Bank does just throughout all the communities that we serve.
Since we've got you here, are you involved at all in what that sort of period of time when Alpine Bank was helping furloughed employees during the shutdown?
Right. So, yeah, thanks for bringing that up. So we are part of that. We're still doing that. Obviously, there's been a little change in kind of the atmosphere as far as what's going on in the next couple of weeks. But that program is still, going on. So far, to date, we've dispersed about just under $5 million within the communities that we serve. So it's been a great start, and we're happy to help the employee or, the government employees that are hitting some harder times. So that's
sure.
Just, like I said earlier, it's part of something that we do.
Yeah, it seems like every time I turn around, there's something that Alpine's up to, either directly or through Bob Young and his wife's sort of charity organization that they've got going on.
Yeah, that's very correct. So Bob Young, obviously being the individual that he is, donates a lot of his time and efforts in the community, and the company that he started is a great reflection of that as well.
Do you, when you talk to folks, do they know that this, Roaring Fork Bank, which became Alpine, is a Carbondale institution that has grown? I mean, do folks have that sort of local realization?
I think here in Carbondale, there is that realization. Overall, I don't think it has spread throughout all the communities, but, we take pride in trying to educate people and just let them know that, we've been here for a long time, and we don't plan on going anywhere. It is an employee-owned and operated company. We're not planning on going anywhere, and we're just trying to keep doing what we have been doing all these years.
And your official headquarters are in Glenwood Springs now, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Yeah, I remember a few years ago I went up there to talk to Bob, and also I did a lovely story trying to find out how many of those wonderful pens you guys had made, had made over the years, and was given the answer of upwards of 2 million. So
I would imagine it would be way past that nowadays.
Yeah, could certainly be the case. What else should folks know about Alpine?
We are very community oriented. We are a reflection of the communities that we serve. So seeing the well-being of a community is a reflection of us also. And we're really, really happy to be in the areas that we are and being part of those communities. Obviously, we donate a lot of money to the communities that we are in, but also, the officers and employees spend a lot of time volunteering in the communities. They're you can see them, you know, part of organizations all across the board. So that's something that I think that we're really proud of, and we're, you know, taking steps to make that just an ongoing thing.
Excellent. And then anything kind of on the horizon that we should be looking for, you know, seeing going on there in the near future?
Well, we don't really have any events or anything like that coming up, but we are part of a lot of the events here in town, and please come check us out.
All right. So, and feel free to jump in as we proceed, or duck out if you've. I'm sure you're a very busy man. So Colin Allen, I was Fringe at the time that, you know, this time 10 years ago, I'd put up a rudimentary website and told people that this institution was coming, but you guys were actively making a news. I mean, it was time. The newspaper was coming out the upcoming Thursday, the 12th of February. And, there were, I see content from Allen and Colin in that edition. And what was going through your heads?
Oh no, here we go. I know that that first edition, you know, I want to kind of give props to Becky Young and Russ Criswell for really having the energy to coalesce us all and really kind of think about what we need to do to get a newspaper going in the town of Carbondale after the Valley Journal shut down. I got an email from one of them or both of them saying, hey, there's going to be a meeting. They just shut the Valley Journal down and we need a newspaper. So, Colin was at that first board meeting. I think it was in whatever was in the, bonfire before, whatever that was called back then.
Probably the Lyft or maybe even Java Joe's.
It might've been Java Joe's, I think. and really, so, you know, it was, but Becky had a lot of design ideas and Russ helped raise the money. I know he donated a fair bit of his own, and Emma Danziger made a big donation early on, and with $6,500 in the bank and commitments from Alpine Bank and some other advertisers, Jody Ensign was our first ad rep. We kind of had the staff all in place, so it just was a matter of, you know, generating the advertising revenue and the nonprofit donations to really keep us going. But, I think I just had a writing deadline, so that's all I was thinking about the first issue.
Also, just since Erico's here, to give Alpine props, they were one of the first groups to advertise in the Sun.
Yeah.
And without Alpine Bank, the Third Street Center doesn't exist. So they have been a major community partner in creating all kinds of great things in Carbondale and other communities in the region. So just want to give Alpine Bank lots of credit and thanks for all that they do. Because this whole region would be very different without them.
Right. Speaking of credit, they did give us a $10,000 line of credit, which kept us from going under the first year. I mean, really, literally, we used it all because that first year it was just, you know, it was a real touch and go situation.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of folks who wanted a paper and would put money into it, but there were a lot of folks who weren't sure if it made any sense. You know, weekly papers in general are tough, and 10 years ago papers were dying daily around the country, so this whole notion that we were going to start a paper was close to insanity.
It was so insane that the LA Times did a story saying, look at these crazy people in Carbondale starting a newspaper.
But what's ironic is that the 10 years later, the Philadelphia Inquirer has now been put into a trust as a nonprofit organization. And a lot of newspaper organizations are exploring that model, ProPublica, partially because the internet has just changed everything. And the whole notion of just surviving on advertising revenue is not going to happen anymore. So what can organizations like The Sun do? And in many ways, it's a community building organization that happens to put out a newspaper every week.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, I think one thing Colin used to say when we went out early on in that first year for donations and talked to people about the paper was really talking about how how it really, you know, you need certain things in a community, and you can jump in here. I think it was a newspaper, and
it was a park, a library, and a newspaper.
A park, a library, and a newspaper is what made a town a town.
And a really good bank.
And a great bank. And a great bank.
It's right there on the cover, though, the park, the library, and the newspaper. Yes, I guess we didn't mention the bank because we figured Alpine had its ad, and they probably were getting that word out. But also, I appreciate what you said, Colin, just about, we can't take sole credit for being supported by Alpine. They've gone all over the place, and I remember doing the story on Jim Calloway last week and having folks say, having Connie say, you know, when they got here, that was it. Alpine was the philanthropy of the Lower Running Fork Valley, and I'm sure that's not 100% true. I'm sure there were folks giving and contributing, but that spirit of philanthropy is something that has really grown over the years, with still those institutions as the backbone. And it's not just the philanthropy, it's the involvement in the community directly. It's the line of credit. It's the purchase of advertisement, which, you know, we see as a, it's not a donation. We hope you're getting your money's worth out of that. And it's a service that we're providing alongside our editorial content. But it's also what keeps the paper going. So it's this, the small town institutions, they have a whole cross section of support. I mean, I'm making this pitch on KDNK right now because they're kind enough to have given us a little time to chat about whatever we want to chat about, which is usually the news, and today is ourselves and Alpine Bank. So I'm curious do you think your job would be different if you weren't working for Alpine, if you were at some other large banking institution?
Oh, I'm 100% sure it would be different. One of the reasons I applied with Alpine Bank was because I knew the contributions that they make to the communities. I really wasn't into banking per se, but just the organization itself attracted me to it. Whether it was going to be banking or something else that they were doing, just their backbone was what stuck out for me. So,
and you're coming on Sunday, I understand.
Yes, of course.
Awesome. So we'll have, and Alan is, and Colin, you're out of town with your kid doing
an music school audition, so I will not be there.
Oh, that's a big deal too.
That is. And if you want to make a pitch for, there's a jazz event on
Saturday,
this weekend.
Saturday night. I think it's at 6 o'clock at Roaring Fork High School. Some of the best young jazz musicians on the Western Slope will be playing at the high school. It's an honor jazz program put together by Jazz Aspen, Snowmass, and it's pretty impressive what these kids can do. And they'll range from middle schoolers all the way up to seniors in high school.
Awesome. And your son and Debbie's daughter, also a long-serving board member, were performing in the Honor Jazz Band last week?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago, in Colorado Springs, First time Roaring Fork High School students have been in All-State Jazz.
So many talented kids at Roaring Fork High School. Yep. I seem like I say that every time I'm on the radio, because either the basketball team is doing something, or the Model UN is off running, to New York, or... We've at the middle school level, we'll be doing a story on some students who got awards for their bilingual essays, and then we're leading right into this poetry slam next week. There's always something going on at the schools here. So that's to me one of the reasons it's not in there, because I think it happens pretty automatically in the list, but that's one of the reasons that we needed a paper, was to keep track of that stuff, to cover the schools, to cover the town council meetings, and the good, the bad, and I guess the ugly.
Yeah. Well, right. I mean, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I think one of the reasons so many people were disappointed when the Valley Journal was closed was, for 30-some years, it had been telling Carbondale's story. And for a quirk of ownership, a group decided that it wasn't financially viable, but that paper had been supporting itself for 30-some years, and, you know, who are you to say we're going to close the paper? It's not actually not your paper. You might own it, but we've paid for it. And, I remember the last edition when John Stroud wrote a little piece about how they were closing, and I was reading it, and my daughter was sitting there, and she was 10 at the time, and she cried. And I thought, this sucks. why right. should a group in Reno make decisions about our newspaper? So we wanted to be able to continue to tell the story of Carbondale, and to do that, it's really helpful to have a newspaper. And it also tells the story of the businesses in Carbondale through the advertising that they do. And I think it's shown over the last 10 years that that's a pretty viable service to the community. And it's great that the nonprofit structure that was set up has held up. And it's stronger now than it was 10 years ago, which is a testament to the people who are involved now and the quality of the journalism within it. So it's pretty neat. When you were saying, you know, did we think it was going to last? Alan and I were like, we were thinking we'd get lucky to get through the first year.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I just, when we got to a year, I was surprised. And I'm just thinking, no way we'll get to two.
When we did the first, yeah, right, first birthday, right, it was like, right. Whoa.
Yeah. You know, in terms of just telling the story, I think on our second or third anniversary, we had a party over at the at Dos Gringos, and we had this kind of montage of slides of Soper Sun covers that just, you know, showed all these pictures of people and animals and the town and all these things going on. And it really, to me, just, you know, when I looked at it, I was just really stunned at what a great and broad portrayal the Sun gives to the town. And it gets to highlight, you know, people who do cool things, whether it's, you know, young students reaching out and doing something, or a local who gets, you know, into the World Cup ski racing circuit, or to cover town council. I mean, I know some of the stories every now and then they you know, that watchdog role is critical, and it helps you know, keep the town thinking of its citizens, and I think that's an important thing to do. I having served on town council, I know you kind of get caught up in these issues and there's momentum on things. So the newspaper serves a vital role in really kind of regrounding elected officials to the folks they serve. And I think that's a great role. I just, you know, to me, those first few years, you know, we just kept going and it kept coming out. And then a new board took over finally. And I think Colin was a longtime board member. So he straddled many boards.
I think,
I think, you know, the honorary publisher program's great. And there's just so much support out there in the community, and each board kind of brings its own energy to it. It really is Carbondale's paper.
It's funny that you mention that, because Colin chose to leave the board the very day I took over as editor, and he tells me that that's just a coincidence. But
I think it's because he felt finally it was going to make it.
the paper was in good hands.
Yeah, but you know, Colin, you said a little bit ago that it's, you know, that the strength is a mark of who's there now. I think it's a mark of who all has contributed over the years. Trina, to get it off the ground, and she mentioned to me all the columnists and writers and contributors that helped fill the paper in the first few months. And then you had Therese Sylvester as the editor for a couple of years, and he brought this sort of youthful exuberance to it. And then Lynn Burton, with just a huge amount of experience in the Valley. And Jane and a host of employees and freelancers and volunteer columnists who have filled the pages. You know, the advertising's great. The support is great. We do have to fill the space in between those ads, though, for it to really be a newspaper. And so I want to give some kudos to those folks, too, because it's definitely... we just got the first 9 years bound in some bound volumes that we'll have on display at the event on Sunday. And you can see just how much content, how much story there is there, as you put it, Colin. It's kind of like those covers that Alan was referring to, but it reminds me just how what I'm, you know, the standing on the shoulders of giants thing is kind of cliche, but it's absolutely true. You cannot, you can't even take credit for what you're doing now if you don't have everybody who did it before you. So I want to thank both of you guys and everybody who got us off the ground and did it in the meantime, because we wouldn't be here and I wouldn't be doing it without that.
It's Yeah, it is amazing. And unless Terry Kirk has been our page designer as well and ad designer from the start.
Richie.
She's a long
Terry,
time.
Terry Ritchie.
Terry Ritchie, yeah. Excuse me.
Longest
Sorry,
serving
Terry
employee.
Kirk, Terry Ritchie. And Jane. Jane was there right at the beginning too. So yep. Yeah, you're right.
Well, I think one of the things we talked about early on is trying to make sure that we had a paper that was at least half content, that it wouldn't just be overwhelmed by advertising, and that it was really important to have that balance in the paper so the stories could be told. And at times it was a slim paper because we didn't have the advertising that we needed to support the journalism, but I think we've been able to show over the last several years that there's a lot to be told, and if we can get the revenue, we'll have a bigger paper. There's a lot going on
right
in this town.
I mean, really, the goal was to set something up that, you know, if profit was the problem for the folks in Reno, then let's set this thing up and so that it pays its employees and it pays its printing costs and it pays its distribution and the news boxes and the equipment needed to, you know, put the paper out, whether that's computers or anything else, and that's kind of at the heart of the success of this paper. And it's good to hear that, you know, the Philadelphia Inquirer is going the way of the Soper Sun.
Yeah.
I mean, I did a search for nonprofit newspapers back in 2009, and they were, you know.
There was one other, I think, down in
Silverton.
There's that one, and then St. Petersburg.
Right. Yeah, the Poynter Institute owns the one in St. Petersburg, and the Historical Society down in Silverton owns their paper.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this monthly that was kind of a rebellious monthly in Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't like their daily newspaper, so they started their own voice, and that was a nonprofit. That's all I could find. So there wasn't really any model out there to follow.
And it's still kind of few and far between. You know, when I go to the Press Association and tell people about that, they're really surprised and impressed. And there are a few folks doing nonprofit these days more, but a lot of them are online. A lot of them aren't putting out a print product, which we think is, I hope you guys thought, is where it's at. That's a big part of the experience.
We got in some arguments over that with people, actually. Colin and I talked to one former newspaper owner who we will say remain unnamed, who said that a print would never work, and it was a time of digital. But, you know, Colin and I and Becky and Russ and Barbara New, who was on that original board, and Peggy DeVilbiss and Liz Phillips, we're all really committed to a print product. There's just an accessibility to it, you know, and especially in the kind of resort mountain communities where they're free. You can just walk up and grab one.
Yeah.
And it puts it in front of everybody and gives them everybody a chance to see it.
It just brings it all together. I appreciate you mentioning Terry, because what Terry does on the production end is huge. It creates a product out of just a selection of random content. Carol, our ad salesperson, is out there bringing it all together too. Tommy Sands, who does the delivery, is making sure you see it. And you know, we've got such a cool crew, and it's not just Megan and I. You know, we kind of take the limelight, but it's really a full court press by a whole bunch of people, and it's a lot more than just the ads, just the content. It's everything. And again, it's our advertisers, it's our sponsors for events. And that's a good cue to anything else you want to share about Alpine before we got about 3 minutes left here.
No, I just wanted to say congratulations to the Soper Sun for reaching this great milestone, and hope to see everyone out Sunday morning at the brunch.
Cool. Colin, Alan, 10 years later, anything else that needs to be said?
It's reading in the paper each week.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
Most of the news you need to know in the Soper Sun. Yeah, no. I hats off to kind of all the people who've committed over the years. You know, Colin and I were there at the beginning, but, you know, there's people there right now on that board, and people on the staff with you, Will, and you know, people who distribute the paper. I mean, all that stuff's going on still, and hats off to everybody for keeping this thing going.
Yeah. It was a community effort to get it started, and it's been a community effort to keep it going, and that's the best thing about the paper.
Well, and I have to say, I have a lot more optimism than you guys, you know, did then about what we're looking forward to. We had a great year with a lot of support from a lot of different people last year. We're moving into a new year with record online readership. And you're right, you know, the paper, this is one of those times of year where the paper is a little slim in terms of advertising, but we have a commitment from a board that that we're going to be 16 pages every week, even if we don't necessarily have the ads for it. And we have the support of the community in terms of donations to make that happen, even if it wouldn't happen financially. And we've got partners in, you know, the Rio Blanco Herald has a story in our paper this week they were kind enough to share with us. And, you know, Jeannie Perry, one of our longtime columnists, reran one of her last pieces and our first pieces. It's both new and old and everything blended together. So I hope we see this 10 years from now, 100 years from now, that there's a paper in Carbondale. And we got a call coming in. We'll see. We got about 1 minute left, so we'll see who's on the line. Katie and Kay, you're on the air.
Hi. The word on the street is that the Roaring Fork Weekly Journal is cutting into your advertising budget. Is that true?
You know, Fred, I don't know. I am not in charge of the advertising budget. I do know that it's a quiet time of year. So whether they are affecting us or not is up for grabs, but they're certainly doing the same thing we were 10 years ago, trying to get off the ground and bring journalism to a town that wouldn't necessarily have it otherwise. So if our argument is every town needs a park, a library, and a newspaper, well, we can't fault Basalt for having theirs.
Okay, I don't live in Basalt or Altabel, so I don't read it. But thank you for your answer.
Thank you. Have a good one. All right. I think that's all the time we have. Any? Thank you all for joining me today.
Thank you, Will.
Thank you.
All right. And thanks for listening.